Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, April 9th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in Exodus chapter 17 today, and there are two stories in this chapter. There's one about water coming from the rock, and then there's the story of the Amalekites being defeated by the Israelites. This is a very interesting story, so I'm looking forward to reading it to you today. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord, the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." When I was studying this passage in a Jen Wilkin Bible study, she had an interesting question. She said, "What is the source of Israel's victory over Amalek in Exodus 17? Is it a divine victory or a human victory?" And it made me think about the fact that, yes, the Lord and Joshua were both at war and won over the adversary. So Joshua had to fight. He had to fight the Amalekites who had come in the desert and wanted, whatever land or property that the Israelites had. And so Joshua is called to fight, but he is also called to remember that the Lord is ultimately the one who gives the victory. I don't know why Moses held his hands up towards heaven, other than the fact that we have seen throughout these scriptures that the staff of God represents the character and the presence of the Lord. And so perhaps Moses is holding his hands and the staff up towards heaven, as a reminder to the people that it is God who ultimately gives the victory. And he, in his human weakness, he gets tired. He sits down, and then Aaron and Hur have to continue holding his hands up high so that they will remember that ultimately God is the one who gives the victory. Very interesting story. Okay, let's move on now to the Psalms. Today we're reading Psalm 108. A song, a psalm of David. My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph, I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. On Edom I toss my sandal. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, God? You who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God, we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. Again today, these two passages parallel in Exodus, where they're fighting the Amalekites, and then here in the Psalms, the great reminder that with God, we gain the victory, and he is the one who ultimately tramples down our enemies. Okay, let's turn over now to Romans. We're in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And the title in my Bible says, Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning, that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he gives, he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Did you notice some of our baptismal liturgy in today's passage in Romans chapter 6? Let's go back to verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life, or as it says in the ESV, we might walk in newness of life. And when someone is baptized, we say to them, buried in the likeness of Christ's death and raised to walk in newness of life. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful reminder that we are raised in Christ to walk in newness of life. We are no longer bound by sin, but we have freedom in Christ, not to sin all the more, but to follow you out of gratitude, knowing that we are not condemned by our sin, that we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and knowing that you are ever present with us by your Spirit, helping us to live and walk in your ways. And so I pray that for my brothers and sisters. I pray that especially for those whose names start with you. And in that regard, we pray for all the uncles in the world. And also we pray for Ukraine and ask, Lord, over the situation there and ask for your blessing and your help. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to gather around your word. And we pray that your word would continue to transform us by your Spirit. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, the one who triumphantly was raised from the dead. Amen.